You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Thursday, 10 June. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Martin Smith from Anchor, Motus and Hyprop updates, results from storage, and then that's the SAB Zinzele Kabile BE scheme. That share has done crazy stuff. I want to get a sense of what's that fair value. And just a show note, next week I am on leave. I will not be here. Wednesday's a holiday. We have takeover shows, Gary Boyson, Kian Nyama, Keith McLachlan, Chantal Marks. They'll each be in one day during the week to keep you wide and early. Some morning headlines. MoneyWeb top 40 mining profits will hit 18-year high in 2021, according to PwC, on top of the 40% jump in cash that they already had in 2020. This is why our rand is stronger and why our mining stocks are doing great. And from Business Day, Magda Wojcicka insists her return won't undermined Houghton's leadership as CEO. She's come back as executive chair just after leaving as CEO. But she makes a really interesting point in the article on Business Day. She owns 63.8% via family trust and the like. She says you can't ignore the fact that Signia, not dissimilar to a number of others, is a family business. I'd never thought of that. Morning markets, US was red, S&P down 0.2%, NASDAQ off 0.1%. Asia is green, Tokyo, Sydney both up 0.3%. Commodities overnight, red, gold 18.89, rand 13.73. And top 40 opening call, looking about 160 points to the green, that's about 0.25% higher.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Martin Smith, Portfolio Manager, Anchor Capital. Martin, morning. Appreciate the early morning time. A pair of updates that came out yesterday. Motus, Hyprop. Let's touch with Motus first. I mean, it's just a really, really strong update. They're looking at headline earnings, and this is the year to end June. It's going to be over 10 rand. They did less than 3 rand in the year to end June 2020. I don't know who's buying the cars, but they are printing cash, and that stock is almost 4x since the lows of last year.
I know, Simon, we were chatting a little bit before about the FOMO we have.
Yeah, neither of us own it.
I mean, it's up 64% year-to-date as well, and I think it's been a massive beneficiary of the reopening trade we've seen and positive sentiment that's kind of crept through both locally as well as globally. But like you said, a very, very positive update, but also a little bit to be expected. I mean, the previous year was literally in the eye of the COVID storm. So base effects are absolutely a real thing in these set of numbers. But again, we can't take away from the fact that very, very resilient set of numbers that have come out. And I think if we look at kind of the data points that we've seen maybe the last 6 months across the retailers, with Motus, even the GDP number that came out, I mean, it looks like the consumer's in relatively good shape, or better shape than we maybe initially feared, call it 12 to 14 months ago, right?
Yeah. And also, I mean, and this is something I think, I mean, I chatted with their, I suppose there must have been their mid-year results, chatted with CEO Osman Aubrey, and one of the things he said, and we're hearing it from a ton of CEOs, is they just took costs and inefficiencies out of their businesses, which makes these, in many senses, better and leaner businesses than they were a year ago.
I absolutely agree with that. And I think you can also throw balance sheets into it as well. I mean, I feel like a lot of these companies have recapitalized, cleaned up their balance sheets, cut any costs out where they could. And like you said, I think we've got leaner, meaner businesses across the JSE, which is obviously really good for our local market, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely, and going to hold them in good stead for the years ahead. The other was Hyprop. Loan-to-value looking fairly good. Other stats, I mean, certainly foot traffic, vacancies well ahead of 2020, kind of on par or slightly below 2019. That comes to the point you made a moment ago, is the consumer is starting to get out there and start to spend. Are they, I mean, is property something we should be looking at in that reopening, or is it, I don't know, is it still a scary space, particularly the office? But this is retail, of course.
There's a couple of things to unpack there, right? I mean, it's we also can't ignore what the property sector has done year to date. I mean, it's up slightly ahead of kind of local equity markets, which is up 19%. But I mean, if we look at high props, so a couple of things. So one, you spoke about the LTV. I was actually chatting with our property analyst last night, and she was saying, yes, they had this capital raise that's sort of the LTV. It's about 35%, which is obviously quite good relative to the sector. But she says they're also in discussions around the consolidation of Highstead potentially in that LTV number, which takes it to about 50% odd. So she says that's a bit of, there's a bit of gray area there. And until we get a proper sense of what's going on there, she said that that makes her feel a little less sure about the stock. So that you see this LTV number of 35, you're like, oh, wow, that's really great. But just to take into consideration that it might be kind of closer to 50 if they do the consolidation of Highstead. In terms of property, it's an interesting one because, again, it's going to be a beneficiary of the kind of reopening trade. But like you said, it is potentially a bit of a scary space, and not all property stocks, as we know, are made the same. So I think if you are going to venture into the property side of things, and we do have a few chips on the table, I think position size is important, but also bottom-up stock picking, I think, is incredibly important, not just kind of in the general space, but specifically in property. And I mean, Growthpoint is kind of our preferred pick in the space. But yeah, I think a chip on the table, but I wouldn't be betting the house on it just yet.
Okay, and that was going to be my question. Which one is it? Growthpoint. We'll leave it there. Martin Smith, Portfolio Manager, Anchor Capital. Appreciate the early morning.
Business, finance, and investment news. MoneyWeb Now.
With Simon Brown.
On the Money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Chris Oosterhuis, and he's general manager at Storage. Disclaimer up front, I hold Storage shares. Year-end March final dividend up 4% from interim. Occupancy is 90.1%. Loan-to-value, 24.1%. And collections, 98% in SA and 99% in the UK, respectively. And this is for the full year. Chris, appreciate your early morning time. Your collection rates of 98%. I mean, this actually shows that the pandemic was undoubtedly tough for your business and your staff and your customers, but you've weathered it well. I would imagine these are more or less standard sort of collection levels of pretty much 100%.
Yeah, morning, Simon. The UK has been reasonably, unhit. The consumers in that market have been well supported, you know, from a governmental perspective. So, and in South Africa, we blew out a little bit to 2.2 in September. We've clawed our way back quite nicely, sort of to 1.5%, 1.4% sort of year end. It was a fair bit of work, but we came out the other end okay, yeah.
And your occupancy levels as well. I mean, you're at, 90%, just over 90 versus 83.8. I mean, is there, notwithstanding new capacity, and I want to touch on that in a moment, is that a number you can push much higher? Or is there sort of like always just a bit of churn and that occupancy kind of gets harder to get to 100% as you get closer?
Yeah, so that churn is quite healthy. We like to see ourselves in the early 90s. We've got a few facilities where we can eke out a bit of growth, and we'll continue to actively work towards that, at a facility level. From an occupancy at a broader group level, we'd like to just hold that occupancy. We'd like to see the occupancy being held over the next 6 months. We came out the other end of COVID, like you said, in quite a reasonably good position. Mm-hmm. And now the job is to go through our sort of our winter season, with that occupancy on hand, being ready for our summer growth cycle in South Africa again.
Winter, you're implying it's a little bit seasonal. I suppose we're at home, we're not going anywhere. I mean, it takes a bit of a hit during the colder months. Are we that much of a coward?
Yeah, well, it's life-changing events, life-altering events, and one of the major drivers for self-storage is that home moving sector and sort of displacement. You know, people tend to move into Africa towards the summer months, those 12-month lease cycles. So we do see an uptick at year end, as well as the construction coming through to a close in November, with builders trying to finish before December. So we do have a slight peak in November in the South African market, and makes sense.
Yeah, no, okay, it does make some sense, and it raises a hundred thoughts in my head, but we'll park those. Are you able, I mean, with occupancies and the like, I mean, is one of the ways where as occupancies pick up, I mean, are you able to put through sort of price increases in inflationary levels or even perhaps a little bit more into the market as, I mean, we're not at saturation, but certainly you've perhaps got some wiggle room?
Yeah, so we did give a few concessions at the beginning of COVID, and we held our price increases for quarter one last year. Mm-hmm. But we have slowly been bringing them back throughout the rest of last year, and in the position where we're almost back to our normal levels of price increases. I mean, our product is a month-to-month product, so people do move in and move out, and so you are able to affect the street rate of the units, so we mm-hmm. can change the rates going into the new unit. So we are seeing those price increases coming through back to regular levels.
And commercial tenants, you've got, I mean, a lot of folks obviously understand that, you know, it's the private individual who uses storage. You actually have a fair bit of commercial tenants as well. Have they, I mean, were they perhaps slightly harder hit? You know, if I've got something stored with you, you know, COVID or not, I need to store it. But commercial might actually be closing down businesses.
We've got a very clear understanding of who our commercial tenants are, and we track it very closely. We saw that when COVID initially hit, we had an influx of new commercial tenants, in particular going through challenging times where they were trying to consolidate their businesses, or perhaps they were closing their businesses. And, you know, we play an active role in supporting those businesses through that cycle. We've then seen quite a few green shoots coming up. The back end of last year, you know, being South African entrepreneurs kicking in and starting new exercises. We've seen the last mile delivery kick on, you know, sort of that e-tailing element where certain people are running from their homes and selling products and then, you know, selling them from our stores. So, you know, running the couriers from our properties, which is nice. I mean, we're highly conveniently located, so we're on our doorstep of our customers and quite close to their customers too. So we have seen those come through. From a hard number, we've got a few more businesses than we had this time last year, which is good. So we haven't lost out. But we've had a lot more residential tenants move in. So, the businesses are okay. They have changed slightly, but we still have our core business structure still coming through.
Yeah, and I suppose, I mean, chatting earlier with my other guest around the Motus, the Harprop updates of yesterday, we're seeing that, you know, the people are out there, they're shopping, they're doing some business. Your loan-to-value SA, you're at 18.2%. In the UK, a little higher, 33.6%. With your current occupancy levels at around 90 it's space on the balance sheet, expansion plans, particularly perhaps in SA, or is that more focused UK?
Yeah, we've just opened two wonderful facilities in the Western Cape, one particularly in Tiger Valley and other in Sunningdale out in the Western Suburbs. And we're opening a lovely store in Cresta later part of this year. And we have a few things in our pipeline that we are excited to bring to market. You know, the South African market is one that we've built our business on. We understand it very well, and we're still well undersaturated in the South African market. So we have opportunities to bring a few products to market. Having said that, we are protecting the balance sheet. We are trying to be as conservative as possible. You know, last year, when the pandemic hit, we all hands on deck, and we were trying to just protect the business as best as we could. And we went through a cycle to ensure that. But we've come out the other end to a certain extent. We are still very conservative, but we do have a few opportunities ahead of us.
We'll leave it there. Chris Osterhazen, General Manager at Storage. So appreciate the early morning time.
Investors now have a final opportunity to invest in a Section 12J investment by the 30th of June. To learn more, join MoneyWeb's editor Rake van Niekerk with Jaltek's Gaurav Nair and Jonty Sachs as they unpack and highlight their top-performing Section 12J investments in a free webinar on Tuesday, 15 June at 12 p.m. Register for the webinar on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb, business and investment insights.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting now with Craig Gradage. He's co-founder at Gradage Mahura Investments. Craig, appreciate your early morning time. SAB, the BEE shares, as in Zela Kabela, trading on the JSE now for almost 2 weeks. I want to get to some valuations. Before we do, my sense of it is a fairly nice structure, relatively clean, and there's some debt in there, there's no lock-in, and the debt's going to be paid down by dividends, which should be, you know, AB InBev, you know, SAB, beer is fairly boring, fairly predictable. It should be a good scheme over its lifetime.
Good morning, Simon. Yes, so, like you correctly said, a fairly well-structured deal, roughly 55% debt inside that deal, and that debt vendor-funded, so SA Breweries or AB InBev providing the debt at 70% of prime, so fairly low cost of debt. And as you say, that debt will be serviced by the dividends from the AB InBev shares that Zenzele Kabili owns. But over the next coming years, whenever AB InBev pays a dividend, part of that will go to shareholders, but the bulk of it will go to settling debt. So a fairly simple deal, no fancy structuring on the debt side. And like you said, an evergreen deal, like many of the others have gone.
Yeah, and that it does mean that you give up a little bit of dividends, but you get that because you get that benefit of paying down the debt. And I mean, prime 70% of prime, I could quite be liking that. Do we know? I mean, there wasn't, as I understand, a formal IPO process here. So I mean, in the market, there are sellers. Do we know who owned the shares to sell into the market post that listing?
Yes, so essentially this is a rollover of the previous deal, which was SAB Zenzele, which was launched in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
That was the broad-based deal, which was open to staff, the retailers, and the SAB Foundation. So, yeah, primarily your sellers are coming from the retailers and from the foundation, as far as I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And I think staff may be allowed to sell a portion. I'm not too sure about the staff deal and the structure of that. So it's essentially a rollover of the previous deal. So a lot of those investors did get a payout with the closing of the other deal, but they had an option to take a lot of that value and converted into the new deal. So it was the retailers who had to vote for the new deal to go ahead.
Okay, that makes a huge amount of sense to me. A last question then. I mean, the SAB were talking around a 40 Rand listing price and the like. It's trading 180 bucks as of yesterday. It's actually been up as much as 200 late last week. Have you got a sense of what a fair value here? Because it should be, we should be able to take the AB InBev, crunch out the debt and the stake in a sense and come to a fair value. Have you got an idea what that would be?
Yeah, so, you know, I've stopped calling it SAB Zenzele. I've started calling it Beercoin because, you know, the value, as you correctly put, net asset value, so that's the value of the shares.
Mm-hmm.
Zenzele Kabili owns about 5 million InBev shares, and there's debt of 2.9 billion. So if you take the value of the shares, 5.4 billion, less the 2.9 billion, divided by the 40 million Zenzele Kabili shares in issue,
yeah,
you get to a net asset value of around 61 rand a share, given where the AB InBev share price is. And you should apply a little discount to that because there's some gearing and it's restricted trade. Only certain members of the public allowed to buy it, qualifying members. And, you know, so if you put it anywhere between 20 and 30% discount, you should arrive at a value of between kind of 42 and 45 rand a share. And it's trading at 180 rand, as you put it. So I certainly don't see where the value is, why it's trading up there. Could be some articles that said, you know, the initial deal turned 100 rand into 77,000.
Yeah.
So perhaps expectations are misplaced. It just could be, you know, significant demand from all the hype around the listing. So that created demand, very little supply. I know people equating one Zenzele share to one ANH share, which is wrong. There's 5 million ANH shares in Kabili, but there are 40 million Kabili shares. So, yeah, the value is a bit out of whack, if you ask me.
Yeah, no, I take your point. At 180, if I'm a seller, I'm happy, but if I'm a buyer, perhaps less. So, Craig Gradage, co-founder, Gradage Mahora Investments, appreciate the early morning, sir. That's it for today. A poll which we asked you yesterday on our LinkedIn, our Twitter, our Facebook, social medias. We asked you, do we need a crypto ETF? Signia again tried and failed to list one. Just over half of you said yes, absolutely, please. About a third of you said not interested in crypto, with the rest of you saying, I'm buying direct. I don't need any ETF. I can go and buy my Bitcoin, or as Craig coined it, maybe get some Beercoin at the same time. A poll on today is that trading update from hepatitis. The hep's three times higher, stock almost 4x. Have you owned some? Did you catch on? Because I didn't. And my guest, Martin Smith, didn't either. Did you catch it? Did you miss it? Maybe you just bought a car instead, but that is a spectacular return. That's it. We are live every weekday morning. MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast just after 7 a.m. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie, Cordora, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.